first case to be heard this morning is number 2008-1035, Olmsted Falls Board of Education versus Cuyahoga County Board of Revision. Mr. Conzer, or Mr. Slags, I'm sorry.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Todd Slags and I represent the appellant M&B Olmsted LLC in this case. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Watch your time.
Thank you. This is an appeal from the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals involving real property located in Cuyahoga County, and the tax year is the tax year 2003, which was an update tax year in Cuyahoga County. This is a unique case because this property first became taxable following a sale of the property from the affilee Olmsted Falls Board of Education to a predecessor entity of the appellant, Olmsted Holdings LLC. And since that time, the Board of Tax Appeals has determined the assessment of the property for each tax year, 1998 through 2003. And this unique history is in part the reason that this case is before the court. In most instances, properties find their way to the Board of Tax Appeals for individual tax years, but in this particular instance, this property has been before the Board of Tax Appeals for the six-year assessment history following it returning to the tax duplicate as taxable property. And that history is in part the reason that the issues that we have raised in this appeal are important, because we're essentially raising the issue of consistency in value determinations by the Board of Tax Appeals. And the issue of consistency really comes in two flavors in this case. In our first proposition of law, we talk about the fact that Board of Tax Appeals determination should be consistent with each other. And that's essentially our estoppel argument. We feel that the Board of Tax Appeals should be estopped from issuing inconsistent determinations of value.
Let me ask you a question about that. And the year that's before us now is 2003?
That's correct.
And the prior years that have been determined, that was an earlier complaint that
That's correct.
A different complaint.
That's correct.
Okay. Were there multiple complaints in the prior years, or was it just one complaint that encompassed several years?
No. We lay the history out in page 3 of our brief, and essentially you had a 1998 tax year complaint that was filed by the property owner. When the property was returned to the tax duplicate, the county assessed it at about it's in the record, but it was essentially $2,232,800. My client, the appellant, had acquired the property in October of 1997 for $225,000. And the Board of Tax Appeals assessed the property for the tax year 1999 based upon that sale. The property was subsequently subdivided, and we did include a plat map in the supplement in this case that shows that the original parcel then became four parcels. And for the tax year 1999, the assessment of two of those parcels were the subject of complaints that went before the Board of Tax Appeals. And the 1998 tax year and 1999 tax year complaints were all determined by the Board of Tax Appeals in one decision. The main portion of the property, and again, this is discussed in our briefs, was a school portion that was sold to the City of North Olmsted and ultimately became their city hall. And then another parcel, which is also referenced in the materials as the activity center or the gymnasium, sold in July of 1999 for $140,000. The city hall portion sold for $125,000. And for the tax year 1999, the subject property was assessed by the Board of Tax Appeals at $140,000 in fair market value. The next year that came up was the reappraisal year in Cuyahoga County, which was the tax year 2000. And in that particular case, the assessment complaint was filed by the Olmsted Falls Board of Education, and they were seeking to increase the reappraisal value by the Cuyahoga County auditor of $325,000. When that case came before the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals, the Olmsted Falls Board of Education submitted a separate value for each of the 3 years in that tax period. They submitted a value for 2000, 2001, and 2002. So the Board of Tax Appeals had to review the assessment of the property and the evidence that was submitted by the appellant in that case for each of the tax years. And in that decision, they retained the county auditor's reappraisal assessment of $325,000. When we come to the update tax period that's before the court in this appeal, the Cuyahoga County auditor, in performing the update in the county, retained that $325,000 figure. Mm-hmm. So that's, and again, it's laid out on page 3 and page 4 in our brief, what the starting values were and what the Board of Tax Appeals determinations were. And one of the issues that we've raised in this appeal, which is really kind of the second flavor of the consistency argument, is that although the Board of Tax Appeals made a determination that the value should not change for 2002, when we move to their determination of value in the 2003 tax year, the value jumps from $325,000 for the tax year 2002 to $1,200,000 for the tax year 2003, which is about a 370% adjustment. And we did highlight in our brief that the appraiser who testified for the Olmsted Falls Board of Education said that, quote, there is no data in Olmsted Falls that's going to show a dramatic change in value. And we feel that's a very important point in this appeal because of the fact that the Board of Tax Appeals has made determinations with respect to each of the tax years leading up to the tax year 2003. And our concern is that the determination for 2003 is inconsistent with the Board of Tax Appeals' earlier determination, specifically the 2000 through 2002 tax years, but also that it's not supported by the record.
But now that the argument then on the other side, though, is that the evidence as to this particular year before the board is different, right? Not that the value suddenly leapt, but that the evidence for the first time established this higher value for the 2003 year.
That's the argument, Your Honor, but if you look at the facts, the evidence didn't really change. And the conclusion of value of the appraiser was exactly the same. And the Board of Tax Appeals acknowledged that in their decision and order in this case. His income approach was identical. And I think the real focus in our brief was the section in his appraisal that the Board of Tax Appeals relied on, which was the sales comparison approach. And I think the important thing for the court to realize is that Mr. Nash may have followed the form of the Board of Tax Appeals admonishment of him in the 2000 tax year litigation, but he didn't follow the substance. What he did was he did an adjustment grid, which shows the adjustments that you make to your comparable sales, which was one of the criticisms that the Board of Tax Appeals had. But the other more substantive criticism that the Board of Tax Appeals had was that he did not inspect his sale comparables or provide photographs of the interior. And that error or flaw in his analysis continued in his analysis of the property for the tax year 2003. And that's one of the bases that we have submitted to the court as why the Board of Tax Appeals decision is unreasonable and unlawful. We feel that for the Board of Tax Appeals to say in the making a determination for 2002 that the inspection of the sale comparables and the provision of photographs was critical. I mean, it was a basis for them rejecting his analysis, and then we go forward 12 months and all of a sudden that's not an important element in the analysis. And we did cite the Medusa case, which was a Board of Tax Appeals decision, where they really did the same thing in that case that they did in the 2002 case, they said, listen, if you don't inspect the comparables, how can you possibly make valid adjustments? So we feel that that analysis that the Board of Tax Appeals applied to Mr. Nash's appraisal in the 2002 appeal applies with equal weight to the 2003 appeal before.
If we view that as a type of estoppel, then the estoppel theory is that the board's determination of the importance of these factors in the earlier case then precludes reopening that in the later? Is that what the estoppel is about?
No, I think the issue with respect to the inspection and the analysis of the appraiser's consideration of the sales, I think really goes to our second proposition of law, is that the Board of Tax Appeals, when they're making a determination over a period of years, that determination needs to be supported in the record. And we don't feel that based upon Mr. Nash's analysis of the sale and his failure to inspect the sale comparables, that the record adequately supports the Board of Tax Appeals determination in the case. Now, that does carry some weight with respect to our initial proposition of law that there should be some consistency between the decisions. But I think that when we go into our discussion of his consideration of the market and the fact that he testified that there wasn't any time adjustment that was necessary to his sales data, those factors really go to the Board of Tax Appeals determination that there had been a change in the market. And we really don't feel that the evidence supports that determination by the board in this case.
From the standpoint, though, then, of just so I understand, you used the term estoppel.
Yes.
How would you phrase exactly what it is that was previously decided that shouldn't have been reopened or redetermined?
Well, Your Honor, the estoppel argument really goes to the fact that the Board of Tax Appeals made a determination for the tax year 2002 that the value of the property should be $325,000. The value that they were reviewing in the 2003 tax year, the initial value that was the county auditor value and the Board of Revision value, was also $325,000. The estoppel argument is that since the Board of Tax Appeals made a determination of $325,000 for the tax year 2002, that they have to have evidence in the record in order to move away from that determination, and we don't feel that there was evidence submitted in this case to support them reaching a different conclusion for the tax year 2003. So we're not arguing a classic case of collateral estoppel where the fact that they made a determination for 2002 precludes them from making a determination for 2003, but then when you consider the record in the cases that they need to be consistent. So it's not a classic case of collateral estoppel. We did cite the Superior Brands case just so that the court would be aware that there is authority for the application of estoppel in an administrative proceeding such as the Board of Tax Appeals, but I don't think this is a classic case of collateral estoppel.
Okay.
I'd like to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Sleggs. Mr. Kontzer.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm Thomas Kontzer, counsel for the Olmsted Falls Board of Education. I think in reviewing this appeal, there's several factors that need to be kept in mind, and perhaps one of the more important ones is that the only evidence presented to the Board of Tax Appeals in regard to the 2003 tax year value was the appraisal testimony presented by the Olmsted Falls Board of Education and the appraisal report of Mr. Nash. The Board of Tax Appeals viewed that evidence, and the Board of Tax Appeals had viewed his prior evidence in regards to the prior years. And the board found that there was a difference between the years. It found the deficiencies that it found in Mr. Nash's report for the prior years was no longer present, which made his current report credible and competent evidence. I think also one must keep in mind that contrary to the implication that Mr. Sleggs has made, the Board of Tax Appeals did not set values for 98, 99, 2000, 2001, 2002. What the Board of Tax Appeals did is it found that Mr. Nash's evidence presented in those appeals was not competent and credible on which they could base an opinion of value. Consequently, they accepted the auditor's and the Board of Revision's value. They did not independently determine a value in those cases. The appeal in this case should be denied for several reasons. First, it is contrary to established precedent of this court. And second, even if the rule put forth by the appellant were to be adopted by this court, the facts and the evidence in the case do not support application of the rule being put forth by the appellant. The appellant's position is basically that when the BTA sets a value of a piece of property for a particular tax lien date, it must not only look at the evidence presented to it in that hearing, but it must also look at any other values it set for that property in the past, look at why it set that value, and see if there's been any changes that justify a different value in the current year. This is contrary to established precedent of this court, and I'll just cite two cases. First, the Freshwater versus Belmont County Board of Revision case. That was a case in which an appellant argued that the BTA could not increase the value of the property from 1987 to 1994 because there wasn't evidence of changes between that time period. This court said that appellant's argument, although not stated as such, is that the prior year's valuation should be deemed to be correct, and changes in the prior year's valuation should be made only in response to changes which have occurred since the date of the last valuation. The appellants do not cite any statutory authority or decisions of this court to support their argument. Similarly, today's appellant cites no statutory authority or decisions to support its argument. The court then went on to say, we see a number of problems with appellant's proposal. First, the valuation of the prior year, which appellants would deem to be correct and which would serve as the basis for which change would be measured, may not be correct. Second, a hearing on valuation would change from a determination of true value at a given point in time to a determination of the amount of change since a prior last assessment. And then in concluding, in addressing this argument, the court said, when the BTA makes a determination of true value for a given year, such determination is to be based on the evidence presented to it in that case, uncontrolled by the value assessed for prior years. Similarly, 2 years later, in the Fond Lake versus Cuyahoga County Board of Revision case, a case in which my own office was involved, and in fact, we tried to make an argument just like the appellant is making. We argued that because the BTA set a value in 91, it could not set a lower value in 94 because in that case, there was in fact evidence of no change in the land values and the property values in that area. It's the mirror image of what the appellant is arguing here. We did not fare very well with this court in that argument. The court clearly said, contrary to what the Board of Education appears to assert, past values determined by the BTA are not presumed to be absolutely correct and are not to serve as the basis for all future evaluations.
Let me ask you a question here, though. Now, so these earlier cases, did they have the same feature as this one has? This one seems to have the feature where the appraiser came in with an appraisal report, Mr. Nash, and the BTA in the first year rejected it, and then maybe there were some changes, and then in the year that's before us, the BTA found at least a part of the report credible. Does that change the analysis? I mean, is there anything in the nature of an estoppel or a requirement that the board be consistent in its rulings on the probative value of the evidence that's presented to it?
Well, I think the BTA was consistent in this case, and there was similar things like that, particularly in the Fawn Lake case. The 91 value, the BTA accepted the Board of Education's appraiser, and I believe the same Board of Education appraiser was present in the 94 case, and the BTA did not accept his appraisal in that case. In this case, there was a consistency in the BTA because the BTA, and there was a consistency in the appraisal value. Mr. Nash, when he valued for 2000 through 2004, did stepped up values each year because, as he explained, there was a significant change in this property over those periods of time because the property came from a single parcel that was an abandoned schoolhouse not being used by anybody. It was converted into four different parcels. The city hall renovated the old schoolhouse, used it as a city hall. The police station was located there. There was a community activity center placed on the property. There was a successful daycare center, which is the property in issue here, there. And right next to it was an elementary school that could feed the daycare center. He pointed out that this property was converted over that period of time from an abandoned piece of property without any use to the focal point of the community. And that was the basis for the increase in value of the property. So it wasn't the same in every year. If the appellant's position were to be adopted, we would be forced to relitigate every tax year decision of the BTA, because we would have to go back to the old values and say, all right, why did the BTA set this value? Why does BTA want to set a different value now? And what are the justifications for the difference? This, you know, would lead to substantial turmoil in the cases, because would you go back just 2 years, or would you go back 5 years? Would you go back 10 years? Would you go back 25 years? There's no rational basis to limit it. If there was a 25-year decision made by the BTA 25 years ago, you'd have to look at that decision and see if there's any reason that that one would control. That's why this court has consistently said, based on the statute and its precedent, that each year is treated separately. Adoption of the rule of the appellant would also encourage substantially more appeals of the BTA decisions. Because right now, if the BTA makes a decision, frequently the litigants will say, well, I don't agree with the decision of the BTA, but it only affects one tax year, and I'm not going to bother with the expense and the time of appealing it. But if that decision could control values into the future, as the appellant is seeking to do, then you'd have to appeal that decision if it was wrong, because it wouldn't affect just 1 or 2 years, but it could affect values ad infinitum. Even if this court were to decide that it should overrule its past precedent and adopt the rule set forth by the appellant, the facts of this case don't show that rule would apply. First, the appellant said the rule would apply, he says this in page 2 of his reply brief, only when the records in the two tax year cases are almost identical. He says that on page 2 of his reply brief. But he hasn't created a record in this appeal that would show this court that the two tax year cases are almost identical. He's presented the appraisal report of Mr. Nash in both tax year cases, but he hasn't presented the oral testimony that was presented to the BTA in the prior cases. And it is our submission that those two oral testimonies are not identical, nor are the two appraisal reports. In fact, the comparable sales used by Mr. Nash in this appeal for the 2003 year, he used 6 comparables, and only 5 of them were used in the prior reports, or only one of those was used in the prior reports. He uses 5 new ones. The BTA, who had reviewed both of Mr. Nash's reports and his oral testimony, rejected his prior reports because they found deficiencies in the reports in his testimony. But they found that all of those, or substantially all of those, had been corrected. He had viewed interiors of his comparable properties. He had inspected them. The BTA stated, we were previously critical of his sales comparison approach, noting numerous deficiencies with the information presented. Some of these prior shortcomings remain unaddressed in the report. However, despite these omissions, this time Nash does provide the specific adjustments he made to the comparable sales regarding location, age, size, condition, and land-to-building ratio to arrive at his final value. In addition, he provides more information regarding individual comparables, which include five different sales of comparable properties not previously utilized. Given the record, we find the net adjustments made to these comparables reasonable. Finally, Nash took into account the surrounding parcels when determining value. Thus, while imperfect, and every appraisal report I've ever viewed is imperfect, we find Nash's sales comparison approach to be credible, competent evidence that reasonably reflects the value of the subject property as of the tax lien date. Who better to decide that than the BTA that viewed both reports and viewed both oral testimonies? And again, I think I mentioned earlier, these aren't the same parcels because of the development of the community, and this parcel transformed itself from an abandoned schoolhouse to the focal point in the action of the community. The appellant also contends in his argument that his rule would apply when the Board of Tax Appeals itself makes an independent determination of value. This appears on page 10 of his brief. Well, as I referred earlier, the BTA did not make an independent determination of value in the prior tax years. What it did is it found that the Board of Education hadn't presented sufficient evidence to even address that issue, and it simply adopted the Board of Revisions value. That's expressly stated in their opinions in the prior cases. The only issue in this case was the value before the Board of Tax Appeals as of January 1st, 2003. The Board of Tax Appeals heard the oral testimony of Mr. Nash and had his appraisal report in which he discussed his opinion of value and how he reached that opinion of value. The BTA looked at that, found his appraisal methodology to be credible, and adopted his value. Perhaps one of the reasons they adopted his value is the property owner presented no evidence of value, presented nothing to rebut Mr. Nash's opinion, and presented no other evidence at all as to what value the property should be. Given the state of the record, given the state of the law, the decision of the BTA in this case should be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Conzer. Mr. Sleggs, you've reserved 1 minute and 46 seconds for rebuttal.
Thank you. I would like to point out a couple of points where I disagree with the appellee in this case. The first is the Board of Tax Appeals under 5713.03 is required to make an independent determination of value. And if you read the decisions in the 2000 and earlier tax year cases, the Board of Tax Appeals was relying on the sales history, the sale of the activity center for $140,000, the sale of the City Hall portion of the property for $125,000 as justification for the value determinations that they made in 99 and 2000. And I think the record is clear. They were not rubber stamping the Board of Revision or County Auditor value determinations in these appeals. They were making specific determinations of value as they're required to do by statute. With respect to the estoppel argument, we have raised that throughout this appeal. We submitted the Board of Tax Appeals 2000 tax year determination and order to the County Board of Revision. We marked it as an exhibit before the Ohio Board of Tax Appeals in the 2003 tax year hearing. So I think that we've been very clear about the fact that we wanted the board to be consistent in their findings over this period.
What about the oral testimony in the prior hearing? Was that a part of, was there oral testimony? Was it made part of the record in this case?
The transcript from the Board of Tax Appeals hearing in the 2000 case was not made part of the record in this case. But I think the Board of Tax Appeals findings in their order are very clear. Your Honor, I see my time is up. If I could just briefly conclude.
Please.
Thank you. For the reasons that we discussed, we are requesting that the court reverse the decision and order the Board of Tax Appeals and remand the case to the Board of Tax Appeals with instructions to find the fair market value of the property to be $325,000 as of January 1, 2003. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sleggs. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision. Mm-hmm.